Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
I want to first of all ask for your forgiveness and leniency this morning. I had totally planned something different for this morning, but the Lord has decided otherwise. I first want to just say what an honor and privilege it has been to be here this weekend. You guys know how to make us feel like family, and I believe that is because we are family. Don't John and I look a lot alike? And so I thank you for always making us feel welcome in Madisonville and everything that you guys do for us. And I'm with Pastor. I don't want to belabor what the Lord wants to say this morning. And so I'm going to completely take a right turn. I told Sister Shannon just to scrap everything that we had for this morning, because I believe this is the way the Lord wants us to go in the house this morning. And I always want to be obedient. We always seem to have preconceived notions about people based on where they're from. You guys, some of you guys know, some of you guys don't, but I'm a huge University of Texas Longhorn fan. And so I have preconceived notions about people from Oklahoma. I have preconceived notions about people that like Texas A&M. All of my Kentucky fans in the house this morning, you have preconceived notions about people from Louisville. I see Brandon sitting there with his St. Louis shirt on, and I have preconceived notions about the St. Louis Cardinals, right? We always have preconceived notions based on people concerning where they've come from. And I don't know why God is tying this in this morning, and especially after what he did in the place last night. But I feel like it needs to be said this morning that not everybody needs to look like we do. And just because somebody may have come from a rougher past than we have, doesn't mean that God can use them any less. Somebody needs to hear what the Lord is trying to say this morning. I don't know a lot of your backgrounds. I don't know a lot of your past. I don't know what has led you to where you are today and why this morning. By the way, it does my heart really good to see a lot of you younger guys that we did some fall retreats with. I'm so thankful you're in the Lord's house this morning. Can we give all these guys and all of our first-time visitors a hand? I want to go just quickly, and I don't know, Sister Shannon might be able to pull this up. John chapter 1, verses 45 and 46 out of the New Living Translation. Holy Spirit, just guide us today. I know I feel like I've said this a lot this weekend, but I don't know what he's doing today, but we're going to be obedient. Somebody needs this word today. In the first chapter of the book of John, we come across Jesus. He's starting to call his disciples out for ministry. Most of them, when Jesus said, "Follow me," said, "Okay, I'll put my fishing nets aside. I'll put my job aside. I'll follow you." But there's one that we're going to read about this morning in John chapter 1, verses 45 through 46, named Nathanael. And Nathanael was just a little bit different than the others, because check out what happened here. Philip went and told Nathanael, he said, "Listen, we have found the very person that Moses and the prophets were writing about. And his name is Jesus. And he is the son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael kind of scoffed back, laughed in his face, "Nazareth? Dude, did you say Nazareth?" Literally, it would be like somebody telling me something good has come from Oklahoma. I would say, Oklahoma? Guys, seriously, y'all don't understand how I feel about Oklahoma. I will fill my truck up at the border of Texas and fill up again when I get to Missouri so I won't have to give them any of my money. That's how I feel about Oklahoma. That is no lie. Ask my wife. She says, honey, I got to go to the bathroom. Hey, baby, you got to hold it. We got 3 more hours to get to Joplin. Be the same way. Nathaniel's sitting here, and he gets this news, and he says, hey, we found the man. We found the guy. And he comes out of Nazareth, and his response was, Nazareth? Can anything good come from that awful city? Can anything good come from the city of Nazareth? And I love Philip's response, and we'll jump on it a little bit later. Come and see for yourself. I want to give Nathanael the credit due to him because he wasn't just taking people's word for something. He wasn't just going by face value because they said, hey, this man's name is Jesus. But Nathanael said, hey, I want to know for myself if anything good can come out of the city of Nazareth. You have to understand where his disagreement, where his disdain, where his confusion came from was simply based on, somebody needs to hear it this morning, the reputation that Nazareth had had in the past. A lot of people get written off about their reputation from the past. This morning, I want to speak to somebody. Can anything good come from Nazareth? See, Nazareth was a town in Galilee. Nathanael himself was a Galilean. Galilee was well known as a region that was behind the times. It lacked culture. It used crude language. In fact, it was by word at the time a sin. And in other words, if I said to a lot of you in the room, Las Vegas, you would know the nickname is Sin City. If I said the word to you, Sodom and Gomorrah, you would know that that was the city that God wiped off the face of the earth because of the sinful nature. And so it was with Nazareth. In biblical times, when people said the word Nazareth, it was a sinful place. Nazareth had the worst reputation of any town in Galilee. The name Nazareth, it was not respectable. It was not admirable. It was not honorable. And it was spoken with disgust. Kind of reminds me back in the Cold War days. Even today, to some effect still, when we would hear the name Russia, or we would say the name Russia, or what goes on in political realms today using the name Russia. And a lot of Americans would say, that's awful. This is an awful, horrible place. Can anything good come from Russia, right? So Nazareth was not the ideal vacation spot. It was not a good prospect for starting a new business. It was not a nice community to move your family into. It was a disgusting place. It was a terrible place. It was a sinful place. It was the kind of place that you stayed away from. You didn't want to take your family into. Let me give you a little geography lesson behind it. Nazareth laid in the hills 12 miles from the Sea of Galilee. Excavations show just how small Nazareth actually was, but they used every bit of space that they had effectively. Nazareth was built on porous rock, so all of the buildings were above the surface, and they had underground cisterns for water, vats for oil, and silos for grain. There was one single ancient spring for the whole city to be able to use for water. It was a conservative town. It clung to traditional Jewish culture in a world that had been radically affected by the Greeks. It had a population of about 400 people. I should have looked up this morning, but I couldn't have because I didn't know God was going to take me this way. I don't even know how large Madisonville is, but if I had to guess, maybe, 30, 40,000 people, or is it bigger than that? 20,000-ish people. So think about Nazareth and the city of Nazareth. There was 400 people in the town in which Jesus grew up. So you know everybody had to know everybody else. My wife's town back home in Texas, there's less than 700 people there, and everybody knows everybody's business. The people there were physically robust. They were strong-minded. They were practical. They were loyal to their family. And we know the size, the geographic size of Nazareth was very small. And we know this because archaeologists have discovered underground tombs that would set the boundary of the city, because in biblical times they did not bury their dead inside their city limits. So they would take the dead and they would bury them outside the city limits, and that's how archaeologists were able to figure out the size of a lot of these ancient biblical cities. Nazareth was an isolated city. Not many visitors came. It had the worst cultural habits in Galilee. It had a bad name among neighboring towns, perhaps due to the lack of religious adherence and low morals. Maybe there's a location in this city. Maybe there's a location right here, even in Madisonville, that you won't go to because you think that's a dangerous part of town, or that's not a part of town that I need to be hanging around in. In our city, that part of town is right where our church is, smack dab in the middle. And guess what? I love it. I love it. They need the Lord too. Nazareth was an unimportant town, hidden away in the mountains of Galilee. Surely the Messiah is not going to come from here. Surely, surely, surely the Messiah, the man that was supposed to lead the Jews into political, what they thought was political prominence, who was supposed to lead them and bring them out of their suffering under the Roman Empire, surely, surely he's not coming from Nazareth. But let me tell you something. You got to understand the name of this tiny village, because I believe it tells us something about the people living there. And it even offered a clue to the identity of the child that Mary would raise there. Nazareth came from the Hebrew word netzer. If you're a note taker, write that one down. Netzer, N-E-T-Z-E-R. That's what the word Nazareth came from, netzer. Let me give you the meaning of the word netzer. And my Bible scholars here, you're going to want to run a lap and do a shout when you understand. The meaning of the word netzer in the Hebrew means branch or shoot. If you guys have spent any time chopping trees down here, which we have down in Texas, and we've cut some trees down on our church property. I went out back one day there at the church property, and where the tree was cut down and the stump was remaining, because the gentleman who said he was going to take the stump out, he never came back to do so. And so I walked out, and where that stump was, there was a little green shoot that began growing right up through the bark of that tree and through the stump that remained. That's a new tree that is springing up from where the old tree has died. That little shoot, that little green plant in the Hebrew is called a netzer. Why would people who founded this village named it the branch? You got to know that much of the Old Testament was written predicting or in response to the destruction of Israel. The northern half of the country was destroyed by the Assyrians in 722. The southern half of the country, known as Judah, was destroyed by the Babylonians in 587. The prophets, in speaking about the destruction of Israel, they used the metaphor of Israel, check this out, being like a tree that was going to be cut down but would sprout up once again. And let me read to you what Isaiah chapter 11, verses 4 and 6 say. Check it out. A shoot shall come up from the stump of Jesse, and a branch or a netzer shall grow out of its roots. So the netzer, Nazareth. Nazareth meant root. It meant branch. It meant sprout. So Nazareth was a promise of hope. The word used in Isaiah 11, it pointed to the promise that though Israel had been cut down like a fallen tree, she would once again rise up. 50 years after the destruction of Judah, Jewish people would return to the city of Jerusalem, and Judah would rise up like a shoot. people were hoping for the coming of that branch. So understand this, and then I'm going to get into the meat of what God wants us to see this morning. When the village founders named their village Nazareth, they chose this name, somebody hear this, because they had hope that God would once again restore their land. And though Israel had been cut down by all these enemies, by the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Greeks, and the Romans, that a branch would come up from the stump. They may have even chosen this name because in the words of the prophet Isaiah, it was a sign that there are no hopeless causes with God. No hopeless causes with God. Because out of a city that no one gave a chance to, out of a city that people badmouthed for generations, out of a city that no one gave any second thought to, a king would rise. You see, everyone was looking for this king. Everyone. They wanted somebody who looked the part, somebody who was royalty, not some carpenter's son. They expected someone from Rome or from Jerusalem, but pastor, they didn't expect someone from Nazareth. It was a dirty, trashy, nasty town. No good people come from Nazareth. Nobody good comes from Nazareth. What good can come out of Nazareth? What good can come from a run-down, backwoods, broken-down, sinful town? Come on, somebody. The amazing thing, and what I want you to understand and see this morning, and this is what I believe the Lord wants to speak into this room. Nathanael had already discounted Jesus Christ. Why? Because of where he was from. Before he even shook the hand of Christ, he had already discredited him and said, nothing good can come from him because of his background. Nothing. He said, Philip, I don't even need to waste my time meeting this guy. I don't need to waste my time saying, oh yes, the Savior has come. The Messiah has come because I know his background. But this morning, God has sent me all the way from Houston, Texas to tell somebody in the room, your background does not matter in the eyes of the Lord this morning, amen? Something good can come out of Nazareth today. You want me to even break it down even more? Something good can come out of Madisonville, Kentucky this morning in Jesus' name. So let's look at a few things quickly that came out of the city of Nazareth, and I want to be very mindful of your time this morning. Listen, I hope that this is sounding familiar for somebody this morning, because I'm talking to some people here that have had a past. And maybe you've let your past hold you back from what God has called you to do, but I need to speak to somebody this morning. Listen, there's no better time than right now this morning to get your life back on track. There's no better time. Something good can come out of you today. I'm getting way ahead of myself, but let's just let the Spirit of the Lord speak today. Here's the first thing that came out of Nazareth. True love. Love came out of Nazareth. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. And anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we may have eternal life through him. And this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. Come on, somebody. Look at your neighbor this morning and tell him, hey, I love you today. I don't care if you don't know him or not. Tell him, I love you today. Amen. I love you today. I tell my church all the time in Houston, quit talking bad about one another because we're all going to heaven together. So you might as well enjoy our time here on earth because we're just practicing for eternity. Find somebody to love today that needs love. But if we love each other, then God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression inside of us. I need to speak to somebody this morning. Love is going to win this thing. It doesn't matter what the world does. It doesn't matter the division that the enemy tries to bring. If you were here Friday night, what a powerful and amazing weekend that we've had. You might be wondering why there's a door over here with red spray paint. And what we spoke about on Friday night was covering under the blood and how God had sent the death angel. But he said, any door that has the blood, that door will be protected, right? That door will be safe. And there's names and there's issues. There's health problems. There's addictions that are written on that door this morning. But in the name of Jesus, as they're covered under the blood, amen, God can take care of them and God can heal them. Love is going to win this thing. And I've shared with you Friday night that I believe the reason that our nation is so divided is it's a plan by the enemy. We have to be smarter than the enemy. There's a reason he's dividing us by race. Because it's going to happen. I shared this with you Friday night. Let me share it with you again. Races are becoming so divided that now a Spanish man can't witness to a white man. Now an Asian person can't witness to an African American. An African American can't witness to a white. Why? Because we've become so indoctrinated with hatred for other cultures and other races that we don't even want anything to do with one another anymore. That's the enemy that's causing division. Republicans can't witness to Democrats. Democrats can't witness to Republicans. Independents can't witness to anyone. Why? Because it's division that the enemy has planted, and his plan is to drive this nation apart so that God will have no place in the division that's going on. It's happening. You may think I'm just a crazy old preacher from Texas, but I'm telling you, if you pay attention to what's truly going on, and all my young people sitting up front here, I pray to God that you're the people that break the curse. May your generation be the generation that breaks the curse, because love is going to win this thing. It doesn't matter what Satan does, love will win. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know why love will win? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus, the perfect son of God, he came and he was beaten and he died. But listen, love will win because while all of hell was celebrating his death, our Lord and Savior was busting the grave wide open. Amen. Our Lord and Savior was walking straight out of that tomb and he was fulfilling God's plan. Love will win because Jesus won. And where did Jesus come from? Nazareth. Love wins because of Nazareth, a town nobody gave a chance to. Love wins. I need you to know this morning very quickly that God's love for you is true. It is the truest thing that you will ever know in your life. And I know some of you this morning, you may be sitting here and you may be saying, God, are you sure that you want me? God, are you sure that I'm the one you've called? Are you, God, you've seen my past. You've seen my problems with addictions. You've seen my problems in my family. You've seen my home life. You've seen what's going on. You know my shortcomings. You know that I have a tendency for depression and anxiety. Are you sure that you want me? And here's the problem. We're afraid to trust God with everything that we have because we've been hurt too many times on earth with this love thing. We've been hurt too many times. Too many times we've opened ourselves up to someone. We've poured ourselves out and we've been crushed by this thing called love. So when we say love nowadays, it doesn't hold the type of meat that it used to have. But I need to tell you this morning that God's love is unlike anything you could ever imagine. His love is everlasting. His love is real. His love will never let you down. His love comes without strings attached. He loves you just as you are and where you are. I need you to hear this morning. You cannot do anything this morning that will make you love God that make God love you any more or any less. If you came down to this altar today and poured your heart out, baptized in the Holy Spirit and with fire, God wouldn't love you any more than he loves you right now. Pastor, how do you know that? Because he loved us when we were in our mother's womb. So before I even had the capacity, Sister Aretha, before I had the capacity to do anything in this body, right? In my mother's womb, what was I doing? Just floating around saying, Mom, feed me, I'm hungry, right? I didn't have the capacity yet to raise my arms. I didn't have the mental capacity to say, God, thank you for what you've done in my life. But what does the Word of God say? When I was in my mother's womb, he knew me. And if he knew me, that means he loved me. And he loved me before I could even reciprocate that love. Listen, if Sister Alicia and I spent time counseling every phone call or text message or Facebook message that we receive from a student or a young adult somewhere in this country that is depressed. We would be counseling young people for the rest of our lives. So let me help you today with a corporate counseling session. God loves even you this morning. There's no prerequisites. There's no disqualifiers. There's no, "Pastor, you don't know where I was last night." God loves you where you are and how you are just now as you're sitting in this room. God loves you. Someone motherless. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 24 million children in America, or one out of every three, are living in a fatherless home. They say that's affecting our nation. The statistics say children in fatherless homes are four times as likely to be poor. Statistics say that children born to single mothers have higher levels of aggressive behavior than those born to married mothers. Statistics say that kids who never have a father figure influence in their life have the highest odds of spending time in jail. That kids without a father, their drug use is significantly higher. I want you to know this morning that all of the data of the world tells us that the fatherless children are doomed. That fatherless children don't have a hope. That fatherless children don't have a future. But I want you to know something this morning. Our God, the Father in heaven, makes his own data. Amen. He doesn't depend on the U.S. Census Bureau. And I want to talk to my fatherless children this morning. You have a father that loves you, and his name is Abba Father. Amen. His name is God the Father, and he cares for you, and he loves you this morning. And he wants you to know that he is ready to fill the hole in your heart today. Some of us in this room, we have a terrible relationship with our father. Now listen, I'm blessed. This is always a tough thing for me to preach because my dad's one of the greatest. He's one of the greatest. I could call him today and say, "Dad, Alicia and I are broke down on our way back from Kentucky." And my dad would say, "Where are you? We're on the way." And I'm 38 years old. I have a great dad. But not everybody in this room has that fortunate situation. Some of us in this room have a terrible relationship with our father. Maybe you've never even had a father in your life. But can I tell you what God's word says in Psalm 68:5? He is a father to the fatherless. That means today he wants to fill that hole. The deep, dark places that have been abandoned for some time. Listen to me this morning, please. Nothing you can do will make God love you anymore. Nothing you can do would make God love you any less. He loves you today in a way that he is begging for you to understand. He's not waiting for you to change. He's not waiting for you to do something for him. He's not waiting for you to make a life change, but he loves you right where you are because true love came from Nazareth. Let's go to number two quickly. I'm going to skip over a lot here. The second thing that came out of Nazareth, and I love this, authority. Authority came out of Nazareth. In Mark chapter 1, demon spirits began to recognize Jesus of Nazareth. They said this, "And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Leave us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.'" Sick people began to call on Jesus of Nazareth. In Mark chapter 10, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." God's anointing flowed through Jesus of Nazareth. In Acts chapter 10, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. So he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed. Number four, the apostles ministered in the name of Jesus. Not only Jesus, but Jesus of Nazareth. Acts chapter 3 says, "Then Paul said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I give thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of where? Nazareth, get up and walk. People were saved in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Acts chapter 22, when Saul was on the road to Damascus, and I answered, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said unto me, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you have persecuted." Finally, I want you to know that Jesus took a small, insignificant place, and he endured it with authority. You may feel weak this morning. You may feel like you can't make it this morning, but if God can bring authority out of Nazareth, he can bring it out of you and me today. You say, "Pastor, I've been facing some pretty big addictions. I really don't think I have it in me to conquer this. My family member has been fighting cancer, diabetes, depression." Listen, this morning, you have as much authority flowing through your veins as that man named Jesus who came out of Nazareth. And so you just got to ask yourself the question, can something good come out of me? Absolutely it can. Love can come out of you today. Authority can come out of you today. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean authority can come out of me today?" Do you understand in God's word where it says at the name of Jesus that every demon has to do what? Flee. That gives you authority right on the tip of your tongue. You remember all these people we wrote down? All these issues that we wrote down, you don't need me from Houston to come and to help you pray over that. You don't need Pastor John or Pastor Shannon to help you pray over that. All you need is to understand the power and the authority that you have in your tongue by saying the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Authority came from Nazareth. Finally, I want to give you this today. Victory came out of Nazareth. When I think back to the original question that Nathanael asked, can anything good come out of Nazareth? I say, yeah, victory came out. Because when blind Bartimaeus wanted to see, then Jesus brought victory over blindness. When the woman with the issue of blood needed a healing, Jesus brought victory over that issue of blood. When Jairus needed his daughter raised from the dead, Jesus brought victory over death. When Lazarus was in the ground so long that he stunk, Jesus brought victory. When Legion was tormented on the seashore with thousands of demons, Jesus set him free. When the storm was rocking the boat and the disciples said, "Hey, are you going to wake up? We're all going to die." Jesus brought victory over the waves. You see, when you and I were lost, when we were needing a Savior, and we needed someone to pay the price for our sins, it was Jesus that brought the victory, the same Jesus from Nazareth. And I believe this morning that we're in a point in our lives where we wonder, can anything good come out of the United States? Can anything good come out of Madisonville, Kentucky? Can anything good come out of this church? Can anything good come out of me? And I've come a long way this morning to tell people right here in this building that even though I don't know where you've come from, I don't know your past or your family, I'm here to tell you this morning, good things can come out of the people in this church today in the name of Jesus. I proclaim that and I declare that over your lives and over your families. I don't care about your past because Jesus doesn't care about your past. Good things can come out of this room today. Good things. Look at Philip's response. And as our worship team comes back this morning, Pastor John, this is probably my favorite part. After Nathanael said, "What good is going to come out of that place?" Philip didn't argue with him. He said, "Hey, just come and see for yourself." Sometimes it's the best thing in the world to just tell somebody, come and experience it for yourself. Listen, guys, I could stand here for hours and preach, and I know you're saying, "God, please don't." I could stand here for hours and preach on the goodness of God. I could sit here and tell you miracles and stories. I could tell you about what God has done for my life and for my family. I could tell you the fact that my nephew was born not able to speak, and the doctor said he would never have any ability to communicate. But I'm telling you about a praying family that gathered around my infant nephew, and now he's the same age as Isaac. And sometimes you have to tell him, "Son, be quiet, you're talking too much." I serve a God of miracles, amen? I could tell you of the numerous miracles that God has done in our church and the ladies that have been healed with cancer. I could tell you of the miracles that God has done in my family and in the lives of people that have been addicted to heroin, addicted to crack, addicted to meth, addicted to K2, which is a synthetic marijuana, that have come in and out of our church. And I could tell you for hours of what God has done, but nothing will do it justice until you experience it for yourself. I think of my Uncle Willie here. I shared this story with Pastor John the other day. I don't know if y'all have Jack in the Box up here or not, but we do back in Texas. Do y'all have Jack in the Box here? It's a fast food restaurant. Real common in Texas, like basically on every street corner. Y'all are missing out, by the way. Y'all need to get a Jack in the Box. But I think of my Uncle Willie. My Uncle Willie is in his 70s. He's what you would call a picky eater. He didn't have his first Jack in the Box until he was in his 60s. And he does not eat pizza because he says that it smells like feet. He's 75 years old and never in his life had a slice of pizza. Unbelievable. I know your face you're making. I'm the same way. And I always ask my uncle, and I want you to hear this morning, please, as you stand all over the room this morning and we get ready to enter into a time in his altar. I always ask my uncle, Uncle Willie, won't you try this food? Won't you just try this piece of pizza? It's so amazing and it's so good. And my uncle always tells me, son, no, I'm not going to try it. And I say, Uncle, how do you know it's nasty if you don't try it? And do you know what his response is to me? I just know. I just know. The same is said for a relationship with Jesus. Listen to this, Pastor, this morning. I just know it's going to work out for you. I look across this room and I just know. I don't care if you're 20 years old or if you're 120 years old. I just know that good things can come out of you. Pastor, you have no clue about this town. We have awful crime, and I really don't. I really don't know the statistics if this is a great place to live or what, but I just know good things can come out of this place. I do know about this church. I do know about your pastors. I do know about your worship leaders. I do know about your youth pastors, wherever they wander to. I do know about them, and I do know good things can come out of them. This morning, I just want to remind you, and I feel the Lord, listen, I don't know why he took me this direction, but I think somebody needs to hear it. Come and see this morning. Come and see. Can I make you a promise? Your life is certainly not going to be worse with the Lord in it. Can I say it again so somebody can process it? If life's been going bad for you, your life is not going to be worse with the Lord in it. Maybe we should write those three words on this door, come and see. Are you looking for a place to worship where you might be welcome just as you are? Come and see, you're in that place. Are you curious about the exciting things that you hear happening through Jesus Christ? Come and see for yourself. Are you looking for meaning in your life, for answers, for everything to make sense? Come on and see this morning, I challenge you. Listen, I know as a pastor that I'm not going to have all the answers. I know Pastor John, Pastor Shannon, they don't have all the answers. In fact, we have a lot of questions ourselves. But we'll add your questions to our questions and we'll walk through this thing called salvation together. Amen? Come and see. Maybe you should take your Bible and write those three words on the inside of your Bible. Come and see. Come and see what other people saw when they went looking for God. Come and see for yourself. Come and see love. Come and see God. Come as you are. So what is your Nazareth this morning? What is that situation that you just cannot see anything good coming from? I just want to challenge you today, church. Come and see. Because good can come out of your Nazareth. Good can come out of your family. Good can come out of your home. Good can come out of you this morning. Just come and see in Jesus' name. As we bow our heads all across the sanctuary, I want to open these altars up. You know, if this sermon was for you, you say, "Pastor, people have dogged me from my past for a while, but I want to speak to you this morning. Something good came out of Nazareth, and something good can come out of you, no matter your past." Say, "Pastor, I've just been dealing with some things, and I just don't see how anything good is going to come out of it. I don't see how anything good's going to come out of my financial situation. I don't see how anything's going to come out of my addiction, how anything good's going to come out of my family." This morning, all I can tell you, come and see, and let the Lord change your life. I'd love as many of you as will this morning to come and to fill these altars. Let's find us a place to pray this morning. Everybody in the place that feels comfortable enough, come and find us a place this morning. And let's just say, "God, help me to see what good can come out of me and what good can come out of this church and this city," in Jesus' name. Come on and join me this morning. I know the Lord didn't have me preach this sermon for nothing. Come on and find a place this morning. If it's you, come on and find a place. "Pastor, something good can come out of me," in Jesus' name. Come on and help me this morning, in Jesus' name. Come on, don't be shy.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.